Welcome to a travel episode of the Property Nomads podcast. And yes, we're going to go back to Mexico, but 2022, this year, I was away for a few months and it was a great experience. Mobile got stolen, so I definitely learned a lot from that experience in more ways than one. But a bit of housekeeping first. I think a while ago, maybe even at the start of all the travel episodes, we mentioned that the aim of the travel episodes, once we recalled everything that Aaron and I had done in 2014-2015, we would then focus on getting prepared to go to the World Cup in 2022. Unfortunately, that's no longer happening. So the ideas that we did have that would be to a bit more of an experience about the Arabian Peninsula, shall we say, because we weren't just going to go to Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Oman, all these sorts of places. That's no longer happening. So therefore, we've had to change slightly the travel aspect of the podcast. So just to let you know that if you're expecting, you know, Rob Aaron in Qatar 2022, we are not going to go out there. And as a result of that, we're not going to be traveling around the Arabian Peninsula. So those episodes won't be happening. I mean, it'd be very disingenuous if we try and report to you that we're in Doha when we're in fact in Worthing. That's a bit of a difference. Fast forward then, or actually let's rewind to 2022. So I was in Mexico again. I appreciate the last few episodes have been about the Yucatan in 2020, but this time I flew into Mexico City. And I'm not going to go and give you a full recap of, well, one day we done this and then we done this and then we done that. I'll give you a couple of things that I learned, a couple of key tips for when you're traveling and how to stay safe in various countries as well. But for those of you that don't know, or for those of you that might be thinking, well, Rob, you always go to Mexico, and my fiance is Mexican. So therefore, if she's not over here, I am over there, so that, you know, Mexico will possibly feature a lot moving forward on the travel aspect of this podcast. As I alluded to, phone got stolen, and typical me, was at the Azteca Stadium, the world-famous football stadium in Mexico City, and we'd watched a local derby, Club America against Cruz Azul. And yes, stupidly, had my wallet in my pocket, phone in the other pocket, and a big crowd of people, 50,000 or so people. And yes, 1 minute my phone was there, and the next minute my phone wasn't there, which was a pain in the ass, but thankfully my wallet was still there. The most annoying thing about that was that I had thought about putting it into my partner's bum bag, because she was and she's Mexican, and she's carrying a bum bag around with her all the time. And I thought about giving her my phone and my wallet for safekeeping, and then thought against it. So lesson number one, take a bum bag with you. Wherever you go, whether you're going to Mexico, whether you're going to Ghana, I don't know, wherever, even Germany, carry a bum bag with you. Put your valuables in that bum bag as well. And therefore, you're covering yourself just in case you find yourself on public transport, you know, a bus, a train, a U-Bahn, whatever it is. Cover yourself there. So lesson number one that I learned from this time in Mexico was exactly that. Carry a bum bag, or at least one of you carry a bum bag, or both of you carry a bum bag and split your resources or your valuables there, because that will save a lot of hassle moving forward. Thankfully, my wallet was still there, which was very useful, and not having a phone was a really good experience. It made me more difficult to get hold of, which meant that communication had to be more efficient. I still had my laptop, so, you know, emails and, you know, business communications, they weren't affected. They became a little bit more inconsistent, granted, but, you know, I'm not on my phone all the time. Thankfully, partner had an iPhone anyway. So the thing that I would have missed most, which would have been podcasts and audiobooks, I was definitely able to listen to a lot of podcasts, which kept the long bus journeys. They made the long bus journeys easier, shall we say. But it's 7 weeks. And in those 7 weeks, the rough journey involved a few weeks in Mexico City, watching a lot of football, I have to say, at the various football stadiums. We were lucky enough to get tickets for the CONCACAF Champions League final between Pumas and Seattle. And that was played at a rain-drenched university stadium in the south of the city. There is so much to see and do in Mexico City, and it's also one of the cheapest parts of Mexico as well. The produce is fantastic. Getting around it by public transport is okay. Very busy, I have to say. Talking about a metropolis with 20 million plus people, possibly 25 million plus people. So if you think London's big, Mexico City is an absolute behemoth of a place, without a shadow of a doubt. We went to other places such as Pachuca. That was a couple of hours away by bus. Very famed for its mining. Well, Mexico's famed for its natural resources. Anyway, but Pachuca was quite cool because it is quite famous for its tin mining. And the local museum there has a lot of Cornish artifacts in. Something that I wasn't expecting to see, but those of you that are UK-based will appreciate that Cornwall was very famed for its tin mining. And they brought a lot of Cornish miners across over to Mexico to mine tin. And at the time, 19th century, of course, we brought over football and Pachuca, CF, Club de Football, I think they're called, are the oldest football club in Mexico as a result. And that's because they were founded by Cornish tin miners. There you are. I bet you didn't think you'd be learning about Cornish tin miners and Mexican football on this particular episode. With regards to museums, I mean, there's so much to see and do in Mexico City. Loads of ruins to go around and have a look at. You've got, you know, a lot of the city's built on top of Aztec temples. I think Tlatelolco is one of them. Tenochtitlan, which is the old name for Mexico City, the Aztec name. Also the Nahuatl name, I think it is, for Mexico City. Yeah, you can see bits and pieces of those sites. Of course, you know, in typical Spanish style, they have been desecrated to the maximum and churches built on top of them in order to stamp their religious authority on the indigenous population at the time. But, you know, there's torture museums, there's Inquisition museums, not the hotel, the palace on top of the hill is really good. But art museums, I think Mexico City's got the highest amount of museums for a city in the world. And I'm not surprised as to why that's the case. It's a rich, rich city with loads to see and do. The one drawback I would say is it is quite high up. I think it's 2,200, 2,300 meters. So if you do have issues with heights or, no, not heights, that's not what I'm looking for, with altitudes, maybe you've got blood pressure challenges or things like that, just be careful if you go into Mexico City. And also where the city is built in effectively what is a drained lake, air pollution. I'm sure I didn't see the sky for the first 2 weeks in Mexico. From Mexico, we ventured out to Puebla. Puebla is the fourth largest city in Mexico by population. Very nice place. We were there for a few nights, probably stayed in the best hotel out of everything. And really nice, picturesque city. That's the UNESCO World Heritage Site. Loads to see and do. We also visited San Pedro Cholula, which is by volume the largest pyramid in the world. It is a ginormous site. Surprise, surprise, it's got a church on top of the pyramid. And it was very hot. Very hot from memory. From Puebla, we headed along to Oaxaca de Juarez, which is the principal city of Oaxaca State. And memories from Oaxaca, they are famed for a couple of things. Mezcal is number one. We went on a mezcal tour. There's one place we went to. I think I'd sampled so many mezcals that I was a bit under the influence and I wasn't bad for 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Oaxaca is also famed for its chocolate as well, and a tlayuda. Basically, it's like to me, I'm just going to describe it as a taco pizza. It is absolutely delightful. I'd highly recommend you get into the local Mercado if you're ever out there. I think it's called the Mercado 20th of November, so 20 de noviembre. And the tlayudas in there are absolutely brilliant. There's a restaurant in there called Abuelitas. Again, if you find yourself in the city of Oaxaca, do head to that market. From Oaxaca, we went to Chiapa de Corzo. If funny enough, up in the state of Chiapas, but we stopped off in Huchitanti, Zaragoza. It's basically a 10-hour journey. The roads are winding. They're very uncomfortable. You will get nauseous quite quickly, especially if you're looking out the window all the time. But we broke the journey down and stopped off in Huchitanti, Zaragoza, which is about 5 hours away from Oaxaca. I kid you not, everything was closed. It was about 35 degrees. So sat in the swimming pool for a little bit and then air-conned ourselves up to the eyeballs because it was absolutely roasting. And then the following day, we went into Chapa de Corzo, where it was just a paltry 38 degrees. You had the Canyon de Sumidero there, which if you go down to the boat on the river, you can take a boat tour. It's about 275 pesos at the time, £13 at the time. And it was a great 2-3 hours. It wasn't that hot because you're obviously moving at quite a speed. And we saw crocodiles, spider monkeys, various fauna, foliage, birds, etc., etc., etc. So that was a really, really good experience, thoroughly enjoyable. And when you get into the area of Chiapas, Mexico becomes even better because the coffee is off the scale. So many times I never got to sleep because I was absolutely buzzing for the amount of coffee that I had. And the coffee's so strong. I think ended up bringing about 5 or 6 kilograms of coffee back from various shops in Chiapa. Stayed in Chiapa for a few nights. I popped over to San Cristobal de las Casas. San Cristobal de las Casas is on the Gringo Trail, and there's a lot of hype about it. And I'll be honest with you, we stayed there for a week. I came away quite disappointed with the place. It's a very nice place. It's a beautiful place. It's well connected. There is quite a lot to see and do. But I think the reason we came away disappointed was that there's a lot of day tours that you could take from San Cristobal. Yet the day tours where you could go to, for example, Palenque, and visit all these lakes and ruins and museums and all these sorts of things, we were actually going to go to these places ourselves. So we didn't need these very long day tours from San Cristobal because we had the time to visit the other places and stay in the vicinity. So we found San Cristobal quite disappointing from that point of view. That being said, it's a lovely colonial city. The walking tour was fantastic. We just relaxed a lot of the time, drank a lot of alcohol, had a lot of coffee as well. But upon reflection, maybe 3 or 4 nights is all you need there. From San Cristobal de las Casas, we then plopped down to, it's something de Dominguez. I should know where we went, but I don't. It's just off the top of my head. Comitán de Dominguez, that's the one. And now this place was beautiful. We spent 4 nights there because we took a few tours. We went to the Lagos de Montebello, which is on the border of Mexico and Guatemala. Took a day trip there. Again, absolutely wonderful. We also visited some really famous waterfalls, the Cascados El Chiflón. We took a colectivo to get there, and that was a nice big hike, 1,400 meters, to see 5 or 6 different waterfalls. That was physically incredibly exhausting, but well worth it once you got to the top. Again, the food was absolutely fantastic. We took our time in that city, visited some local ruins as well. Just absolutely delightful. If you do get there and you do have time there, do go to the Lagos de Montebello, but also head over to the Zona Arqueológica Chincultic. It's free to get into. And there's not loads of ruins there per se, but the creme de la creme is the fort is not the right word, but I'm going to use it anyway, on top of the hill. It's about 260 steps to the top, but the views are absolutely breathtaking. Highly recommend that. It's the Zona Arqueológica Chincultic. Again, you can get a combi there and get dropped off and walk to the site itself. Highly recommend it. From Comitán, we headed off to the Tonina ruins. Now, the Tonina ruins are just outside a place called Ocosinco, but you're now going into the heart of Chiapas. You're going into Zapatista territory, where they don't really recognize the government of Mexico. They're a bit rebellious from that point of view. I completely understand why, having, again, visited a bunch of museums. But in order to do that, we had to travel back to San Cristobal de las Casas and then get a private taxi up to Ocosinco, and then get another private taxi to the Zona Arqueológica de Tonina. We spent 2 days at a lodge in the middle of nowhere, in the absolute middle of nowhere. Absolutely delightful. It's peaceful. It was quiet. The ruins were delightful. We visited them one morning, and just the pace that we'd had and the fact we've been in cities, to be in such a place was just so calming. From Ocosinco to Palenque, again, Palenque, you've got famous ruins, loads to see and do. Biggest faux pas there was having all my washing done and then only having a pair of jeans to wear, which when it's 38, 39 degrees, it made for a very uncomfortable morning. And then from Palenque, we headed back up into Mérida in the Yucatan. Don't need to go into that because I touched upon that last time. What I would say, though, is there's an episode or a series on Netflix called The Taco Chronicles. And we happened to eat at the restaurant where the woman that appears in the Cochinita Pibil episode of The Taco Chronicles, it was her restaurant, and holy Moses, probably the best tacos I think I've ever had in Mérida. And then from Mérida, flew into Mexico City. If you're ever flying from Mérida into Mexico City, or you're ever flying from the east part of Mexico into Mexico City, do not have a full breakfast before you go there, because the landing is a pain in the ass. It's quite steep. I felt ill all day because of the descent is incredibly sharp. And then, of course, a proposal to who will now be the future Mrs. Property Nomads podcast happened at the end of as well. So there's a quick summary of Mexico 2022. I guess so, with the title of this episode being Top Tips for Staying Safe, stuff that we've mentioned before. I would say have yourself a bum bag, put your valuables in the bum bag, always look like you know where you're going, try not to look too touristy. Appreciate, you know, as a white person in some parts of Mexico, that might be quite challenging, but always look like you know where you're going and what you're doing. Learn the local language as well. So if you're in a place like that, learn your Spanish, at least have an up-to-date understanding of the language, because that can really go a long way. And again, if you're traveling around at night, no issues with that as such, but listen to what the locals say. In a place like Mérida, it's not an issue. It's one of the safest cities in North America, period. But if you're in a place like Mexico City or Oaxaca, again, just heed the locals' advice. If they're saying, don't go to this particular barrio, don't go. And try and do most of your activities by day. And normally you can hang around the local plaza at night, or the Zocalo, as they call it. Normally there's some good things going on there. So they're top tips for staying safe in Mexico or any country. And a little recap, little trip to Mexico in 2022. Until next time, hasta luego.